Okay, it's on. All right, so we're starting Yesh Nochlin, Baba Basra. Very exciting. We should make a party for Nita, you know? Mm-hmm. Fine. You bring the schnapps. Fine. So Yesh Nochlin. So basically, Yesh Nochlin, the eighth parak of Baba Basra. So the parak is about Yerusha. There's a pasuk in the Torah. There's not just one pasuk. There's a small portion in the Torah, meaning in Pinchas, about Yerusha, right? That Benos Slavchad asked for their part in Eretz Yisrael from Moshe. They asked Kadosh Baruch Hu what they should do about these women, and God decides to give them some land, and then the Torah decides to discuss the dinim of Yerusha. Right, so automatically you already whatever you see certain from the Torah, you see certain parallels between the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael, meaning the Chiluk of Eretz Yisrael originally, and Yerusha. Whatever the Torah then has a parsha with a few psukim about the order of Yerusha. So the first number of dapim in Yesh Nochlin all go through basically working through those psukim in the beginning in the parsha in Pinchas, trying to figure out how to read the psukim, whatever, you know, how darshing the psukim, etc., figure out the order of Yerusha. Fine. So basically what comes out is that the Torah has a certain you know, abridged version basically of Yerusha, and Chazal expands, you know, like Chazal always does, based on Joshua's v'chule. Fine. One of the Chazal learns out certain klolim and svaros in Yerusha, right? Because Yerusha pashtos, right? Person dies and people get the nechasim of that person, right? So person dies, there's over a house, a cow, and a wallet. So they get the house, cow, and wallet. So now the Yerusha pashtos also is a din of the Torah. Doesn't need a Maisa Kinyan, it doesn't need Das Makna, because he's dead, it doesn't need Das Kona, it's all Bakorcha, meaning the Torah, when someone dies, the Torah is Koveya, the Rishonim already used the Lashon, not Rishonim here so much, there's Rishonim different places, there's a Rajba in Nedarim, there's a Tash Beitz, I'm pretty sure I saw this in whatever different Rishonim. They use the lashon. Yeah, Tash Beitz. Tash Beitz is, I think, Chelik Aleph Simin Nun Aleph. I think Nun Ches. Anyway, so they use the lashon of Mishamayim Kazachule, right? That the person dies and Mimela the Torah is Mizaka the Nechasim to the person, to the Yoresh, and the Yoresh. The car of the person who gets the Yerusha, gets the inheritance, so automatically the Torah gave him the stuff and now it's his. Now there's a little bit of discussion.
No, but wait a minute, just a second. The Gemara in Ksuva says that if a person says I don't want to inherit,
that's only you can only say that, over there it's discussion by
the ninth parak.
Right. There it's by Kosei, the discussion is by a man from his wife when they're getting married, that he can make a tnai in right away to not get the Yerusha of his wife. Mm. So the Gemara already says it's because Yerusha is only Derabana, and that man the Amr holds that Yerusha Sabal is only the Derabana, and therefore he can say any roots of the tnai chachamim. Right, but by Doraisa...
I'm not talking about the Mishnah, I'm talking about the Gemara.
The Gemara explains that Mishnah.
No, but the Gemara has another example. You know, it's a question of getting...
So the Rishonim over there discuss, there's a riff, and all the Rishonim on the riff, like the Balamor, the Rimban, the Rivet, they all discuss over there different ways of reading the Gemara, the Inyan, Baal, the Fule, but the Rishonim over there actually write that, I mean, I can check, but I'm pretty sure... The Rishonim write.
By the Rabbanan,
well, no, that's what the Gemara says. That then the Rishonim discuss to make a Tanai. Well, it's discussed. I'm trying to remember the exact. Basically, that's what the Gemara says. Then the other Rishonim write different reasons. Basically, they write no. Right, we basically, because the Gemara says if it's the rice, it doesn't work. They say a different reason. They say, no, it doesn't work because it's masa mashal kasa b'torah. And you're trying to, even if it is deraisa, it's masa mashal, whatever, they give different reasons. But no one says, as far as I know, no one says that you could just, that you could not accept the Yerusha because the Yerusha is Baal Korcha. There's a shita of the Ravid that later on Daf Kuf Chaf Dalam and Aleph, the shita of the Ravid over there, the Rishonim put the Ravid on Kuf Chaf Dalam and Aleph, Bichirish, that you could, I'm not sure what the Shulchan Aruch says about it, I don't remember, but I have a feeling, I don't remember the Shulchan Aruch passes or not, I don't remember. But the big chiddush of the Ravid is that you can back out of Yerusha, but even then you're not backing out completely. You just can say, "I'm not taking it right now." Then whenever you decide to take it, you can take it. But I don't think anyone says that you could say that you can say like, I mean, that's a chiddush of the Ravid. Most Rishonim disagree with that, or many Rishonim disagree with that, and that itself is a chiddush. Whatever. I'm saying this is not. I don't want to get into this too much, but that the pashtus is that the that that's Baal Korcha. And that since it's Baal Korcha, right? So Pashas, you can't say no. Even if you could say no, it's just you can like kind of hold it off for now. But you can like hold off the Yerusha for now. But it's not that you're. It's not like a normal. No, I don't want it. You could most probably the machlokes later. You most probably sell it. The machlokes rishonim, but most rishonim hold you can sell it. You can say, okay, you know what? I'll take it, but I'm going to sell it to you. You can get my rishon instead and sell it to someone else. Fine. But the point is that you don't need a kinyan, the kuli alma. It's pasha. You don't need a kinyan in the Yerusha. You don't have a das machna. That guy before he dies doesn't have to say, I'm going to give it to you. There's a question in the Gemara, can he do that? Let's say before the Yerusha, can he say, have a will, etc.? Fine. But let's say, you know, God forbid the guy just, you know, drops dead one day and never did a will, never did anything. Doesn't matter. The Torah was mezaka the nechasim to the Yorshim. They automatically inherit the nechasim. Fine. Now, that's what the Torah describes. And the Torah describes the different. Well, again, in the Torah's abridged version, this is with Chazal's commentary, obviously. Now the Torah describes who comes first, because it always matters. Well, who's your age, right? So there's a what do you call it? You know, Dargos, in who comes first. Hierarchy, there we go. In who comes first in Yerusha. If man dies and he has a son comes first. If he has two sons come first. And if he has 17 brothers, doesn't matter, the 17 brothers will get nothing and two sons will get everything, right? Meaning there's a hierarchy of the Chazal Darshan, a Karov Kodem, whoever is the most Karov, the closest relative to the mace, he or they will get everything and the rest will get nothing. That's what the how the Torah sets it up. So the first, that's the Mishnah here discusses. The first Mishnah is discussing basically all who gets what, who comes first. But basically, the sons come first. If there's a sons, then no one else gets anything. If there are no sons, then the brothers get. And if there's brothers and there's other random people, doesn't matter. The brothers get everything. No one else gets anything. If there are no brothers, oh, but I missed. Well, if there's a son, then a daughter. Meaning, let's say there's two sons, then daughters, and no one else gets anything. If there's no sons, but there are five daughters, or one daughter, or three daughters, or 18 daughters, the daughters get, no one else gets anything. Then comes the brothers. Then comes the sisters. Then come. I missed the father. I'm sorry. The son, the daughter, the father, the brothers, the sister. Okay, there's a whole hierarchy. Fine. But that's what the Torah sets up. Now, the Chazal, the beginning of Yishnuchlin, is all figuring out the Psukim, even though the Torah gives Pashas one order, because the Torah, Pashas Pshat and Psukim, says basically, doesn't mention father in the Torah. It just says son, daughter, brother, uncle, others. That's how the Torah has it. So Chazal tries to figure out where does father fit in. Well, there's a Pashat Svara, if the uncle gets, he's only related to the dead guy because of the father, right? Meaning, right, if Yaakov dies, so Yaakov, his father is Yitzchak. Yitzchak's brother, is Yishmael. Now, let's say if Yitzchak weren't around, so Yishmael gets it. But Pashut, that Yitzchak should get it, he's the father. He's the only way that Yishmael is related to Yaakov is in a way because of Yitzchak. So therefore, for sure, the father will get it. Fine. But either way, the father is not written in the Pesukim. So basically, the Chazal beginning are going through the Pesukim. They're even willing to switch the whole Pesukim around. Stand the whole Pesukim. They have Havminas to like whatever. Mamash Mahapech the whole Pesukim. The Rishonim over here discuss. There would be a Yonah. You can see there would be a Yonah. He discusses against the Rashbam. If I am Mikra Yotz Dipshuto, because the Torah Mamish, the Chazal is willing. They don't. In the end of the day, they don't. But only Svar. Only because they learned out. We learn a Karav Kodem. We learn whoever is closest, the closest relative, gets the Yerusha. So we figure out who's the closest. And only then do we then read the Pesukim that way. But if, hypothetically, Misvara, we would have realized that someone else was closer, we weren't so bothered by reading the Pesukim out of order. For whatever reason, the Rishonim discuss why not. The Rebbe Yonah Taka argues on the Rashbam for this reason. If I because of Ein Mikra Yotzei Dipshuto, but Lemaisa, the Rashbam, Pashat, and even another Rishonim are willing to read the Pesukim way out of order because the Ikar Svar is a Karav Kodem. Whoever's closest to the mace, he gets the Yerusha, or they get the Yerusha, and everyone else is out. Fine. That's basically the Hakdama in Yerusha. Now, the different Svaras, so we just had a Karav Kodem, that is the Koveya who gets the Yerusha, right? So the different svaros, ready in the Gemara, why different people would get the Yerusha. There's the Gemara brings that, again, I'm only giving a basic overview just so we know even what's going on before we, like, you know, get into a little deeper lumdus or whatever. I just want to, because at least I know for myself, when I started Yesh Nochlin, it's like it's a whole new topic, never knew about this stuff, so it's basically the, today, just all this being said and done, I'm not getting into this at all. But just today, the poskim write halachic ways to set up a will that we don't exactly work it this way. Meaning, this is how the Torah works without if there were no will, etc. There is a halachic way to make a will.
Circumvent.
Yeah, it's not right. Meaning, the question is how if that's proper, why that's proper. But basically, I heard a shift from Willig, meaning the poskim have decided that it is proper for whatever reasons, shalom bias, whatever that reason may be, that it, whatever, it's not totally circumventing, it's using the klal, and the Gemara gives us already how to not circumvent, meaning how to circumvent without circumventing, because there's a problem in circumventing. So, because you're not allowed to, meaning Chazal say that.
Yeah, it's a legal loophole. Okay, well, so we call it circumventing.
Well, not really. There's different kinds of circumventing. Right, there's different kinds of circumventing. Sometimes you could circumvent in a harama, and a harama many times is not okay. Doing a harama...
Okay, so this is not harama. Right, look, Prusbol is also a circumvent.
Right, but Prusbol is another question, and it's a shayla. Why? It's not, I mean, we echnam. Fine. So there's a proper way to structure the Yerusha differently practically. Fine. I don't like circumventing because that sounds like we don't like, God said one thing, we'll do something else. I don't like that. So I'd like to say that we're using the whatever the Torah told us.
All right, we're arguing with semantics. Let's go.
Fine. Semantics to me are important in this issue. So I'm not getting into what we're doing practically on this issue. I'm just saying what the Torah sets up. Fine. So the, So the Gemara gives different svaros for what's considered karov. Because again, how do you know what's considered karov? Is the son closer or is the father closer? Is the brother closer? How about the best friend? He's also very close. I'm saying, why is the, what's considered close? So basically, just the svaros I want to work with right now, the Gemara gives a svar for ach. The reason that ach would be close would be a karov. The Gemara has even a havamina, at least according to Rashbam, that the ach will be the closest relative. Why? Why? Because the ach is kum tachas the dead guy. How? By yibum. By yibum, when a man dies without children, So his brother will be miyabem his wife, right? And the Torah says that basically the yavam steps into the
shoes. Right.
Well, not just yorish. In terms of sam, no shayches to yerusha. Just we know that he's karov because there's a din in the Torah in that when a person dies without children, another man, i.e., his brother, steps into his shoes. And since we see another person pashut stamping into his shoes, clearly that's there's no bigger kirva than that of someone taking you over. So since this the brother, you know, we see a model for him taking over the deceased. So he's the most karov. The Gemara says no, that's not true. The ben is even more karov. We see even more cases where he steps into the father's shoes. Basically, it's all a question of, at least in this part of the Gemara, how much you're kam tachas, meaning standing in the place of, right? So the ben, the son, stands in the place of the father even in more cases. What are those? Well, first of all, the Gemara gets a pashut svara. The only reason that yibum is shy. The only reason that the brother comes and steps in the place of the father of the son of the deceased is because there is no son. But Malcolm, there is a son, then the brother doesn't step into the place. Why? Meaning because the son basically steps more into the place than the brother does. Right? Meaning it's only the brother only steps in when there's no son. If there's a son, then the brother doesn't do anything.
But here we're trying to learn out who's
karov. Right, so we're trying to, so in general...
That's circular to say...
No. So because we're trying to learn out who's more karov in Yerusha, mm-hmm. So we're trying to use other places in the Torah. Where did Kadosh Baruch Hu tell us, where was the Kadosh Baruch Hu megala to us in other places in the Torah that he's more karov?
So the example you just used wasn't in the context of Yerusha?
No, that's by Yibam.
I'm sorry.
So then by Yibam. Right? It has consequences for Yerusha. It has consequences for Yerusha. But I'm saying, the din is Yibam, no shaykhs to Yerusha. Hypothetically, the Torah said after a person dies, his money is hefker, there would still be a din of Yibam. So by Yibam again, so the brother steps into the father's shoes, but he only steps into the father's shoes when there's no son. If there's a son, then the brother's out of luck. So, meaning that the son is even closer than the father, because he actually takes the place. He throws the brother out, right? When there is a son, then there's no place for a brother. That's what you see from Yibum. Also, another place is by Steyachuza. There are other places by Yud. The Steyachuza is another Shaila, but by Yud, the other cases in the Torah where we see that the son is Kamtachas the father, therefore he's the closest. Fine. So with that Svara of Kamtachas, that's where the Gemara finishes up because again the klal is, even though the Psukim are written in this way, it's clear what the Psukim say, yet we learn, we darshan from the Torah, it says that because it finishes off in Parsha Karav Elav, we learn from there Karav Kodem. Whoever's the closest. So really, what we're looking for is who's closest. So clearly, the son's closest. Next closest is the daughter. Next is the father, and next is the
brother.
The father, I half tricked you, because the father is not necessarily closer. He's probably closer, but that's also a deal in the Rishonim and the Gemara. Why the father gets it. There's a limud why the father should get it. There's a two different deos, there's two different lashonos in the Gemara why the father gets it. Is it because of another gzeirah kasav? Basically, to some degree, it sounds like even that the brother really is closer, because we never find the father being kamtachas. No, a father is never taking the place of his child. The child takes the place of the father, but the father never takes the place of his child. Right? If lo aleinu someone, you know, chas v'shalom, the son's nifter before the father, we don't see as the father taking the place of the son, right? But the brother, he is able to take the place of a brother. So the Gemara really has a svara that maybe the brother should be before the father. We say no, because the gzeirah kasav, that the father should come first. So what that gzeirah kasav is unclear. Is that because saying he is more is closer? It's a deal a little bit why he comes first.
Isn't there totally different logic in that he goes to the father because the property is going back into the same lineage, so to speak? Like if you can imagine a pipe going, you know, top to bottom, right, down. So if the man dies, and let's say he doesn't have,
so the Ramban al Torah,
it totally makes sense that it goes to the father, because the father father can conceivably have more sons.
Mm-hmm.
And then that property then goes
right
back.
That's
down.
Right. No. So the Ramban Torah, Mamar says that Svara. Ramban Torah, it's an interesting Ramban, because the Ramban Torah in Parshas Pinchas, he says a Svara like that. It's unclear, because he says a Svara, it doesn't seem like Gemara is saying, but Imam says that Svara.
That logic.
Yeah, he thinks logically that's very, he thinks that that just makes sense, and that's what he says all the Torah. And also the Tosfos and Daf Kuf Tes, Demaskol B'Makom, this is the second lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says, he says a different svara thing. He says the hash nosin miho karo shahaya roy lakriva labas umuki lab av lefisha meis yotze yirecho v'enacha karo v'yoser roy mimanu. That there's some a svara of that the meis is yotze yirecho. That meis is his, right, is literally comes out of his yeref. Yeah, so literally, it's just like extension of him to some degree, and that's a little bit different svara. Meaning, so you're right. So the Ramban Torah, and you're saying like the Ramban Torah svara that there's a certain svara of lineage that it should go continue in the same lineage. The Gemara is saying another svara sometimes that there's kum tachas who takes the place of the mace. Tosfos is going to notice again. These are all different days in the Gemara, different place. I mean, I'm just giving like a I'm kind of I'm not working with I'm working with many different days at one time, so I'm just giving different svaras. But that the son is an extension of him, so he really is the closest, because it's as if Kielu, someone's leg, you know, died, but the rest of his body is still around, meaning he's the closest. Fine. Okay, these are different svaras of Gemara. So again, so at least we discussed them until now, that the Yerusha is Mimela. Yerusha Pashtus is Baal Korcha. In Echanami, there's some, you have to figure out exactly when you could, and the exact gavurah of Baal Korcha, but Pashtus is Baal Korcha, and you for sure don't want a kinyan and everything. Pashtus is Mishmaika Zachulai, when we're are on that. There's a couple of Lishonis and different Rishonim that might sound like the father actually is the one giving it. Whatever, the more later talks about a morish, the mission actually has a lashon nochlin that you're manchil, but the Rishon Rei over here already left out for that. But there is a certain element in Chazal and Rishonim that discuss that there's a morish, that someone is the one giving the Yerusha. The way I understood that, again, you have to look at all the places, we understood that it's Pashut, again, to me at least, Pashut, that that doesn't mean that he's actually giving the Yerusha. It's not like when I sell you this paper, I'm giving you the paper and you're taking it from me. That's not what's going on over here. Over here, it's Pashut to me that it's Mishamai Kazachule, that the Torah is Mizaka, the person. You don't need a Kinyan, you don't need a Machna, you don't need a Kona. It is from the discussive of Yerusha. When we say Morish, it means that he has certain kochos over the Yerusha. Meaning, we'll see later, Mir Hashem, that the there's different days. There's a Mechukas Tanayim, Riochim and Broka, that the father has the ability to decide. Let's say there's three sons, he can say the Yerusha should go to son X, right? But I mean, he has a certain kochos over the Yerusha. There's other, you know, kochos that he has. There might be Hodas Baldin, might be Shaykh, there's a Gemara in Daf Kuf Lamed Daled, and there's a whatever. But there's a certain, he might be a certain Bailim on the Yerusha, but it doesn't mean, Pashtus, that he's actually the one giving the Yerusha. That's very strange to say that he Chas Shalom died in a car accident. He didn't like, when is he giving that stuff? I don't know, it's just very strange to say he's mostly like giving the stuff. He has some kochos on it, but the way I understand it is, Pashtus, that after the kochos all said and done, then the Torah is mezakeh to the child.
I'm just saying, like, Lemafrei gave it? Like, maybe he had in mind at some point to give it?
It's just strange. It could possibly say it. I don't know. I don't see a reason to say it. I mean, I think that, because again, the fact that you don't need, usually kunyanim need das, usually kunyanim can't be bakorcha, usually, I'm saying just the normal rules of kunyanim aren't at play here, so the, to me, at least, the Pashas is that that it's Mishnah. And the Mishnah used the Lashon. So, okay, I mean, that's just what I think. Again, Echanami, you could say, there's a Rebbe Chanan. There's a Rebbe Chanan in Kobishirim, I think, in Kedushin. Okay, there's definitely we kind of discussed such possibilities. There's a Tosis, I think, in Gittin Yud Gimel, maybe Gittin Yud Gimel, I think. I'm not sure. There's a Tosis, maybe Kedushin Yud Gimel, maybe Subish Yud Gimel. I'm not sure. Anyway, there's a Tosis, I think, in Gittin Yud Gimel, that also people discuss. Okay, I don't know, but I think so, I'm saying it's still the Pashtas. Fine. So fine. So we discussed that how the Rusha works. It's Bakor Chavuchule, and we basically try to show that in general, even though the psukim written the way they're written, the Chazal understood that to work to try to figure out the svara who's the most karov, because the klal is a karov kodem, whoever is most karov, and once you figure out who's most karov, based on different svaros, either the Ramban Torah the lineage svara komtachas who comes into place, Yotzi Yerecho, right, that he's an extension of someone else. There are other svaros that are given later. So based on those svaros, the Chazal figured out who comes first, who comes second. Fine. Now, in terms of Yerusha, the Achrim discuss two different types of Yerusha Kiyur. Meaning, obviously, the Yerusha still is, person dies, someone else inherits. But there's, the Achrim discuss two different types. There's Yerusha Yeshira, it's called, that's the lashon they use. It's straight Yerusha, or Yerusha Ayde Mishmush. Because already the Rishonim and the Gemara already discussed the word Mishmush. Mishmush means that it comes. Let's say Avram was nifter, and let's say hypothetically Yitzchak was already nifter beforehand, right? So now when Avram dies,
Yaakov,
right? Yitzchak can't get anymore. He's already in the kever, but Yaakov, he'll get the Yerusha. Okay, so how does that work? When Yaakov gets the Yerusha, does he get?
Assumes not Ishmael. Also.
What?
Assumes not Ishmael.
You're right. Ishmael's out of the picture. Let's say he's a goy by now, and right. So now the only Yaakov, he's the real son. He'll get the Yerusha. Fine. Now, so when Yaakov gets the Yerusha, is he getting it through Yitzchak, or is he getting it straight from Avram?
Directly.
Right. If you Yerusha Yeshira would mean get straight. He's getting it from Avram. And Yerusha Ayde Mishmash would mean that, no, it's Ki'ilu, Yitzchak gets it. Okay, he's dead. Okay, so he gets it for Kever. He gets it when he's, you know, in the Kever. And then Yaakov gets it from him. Okay, so that's basically the basic understanding of, right? There's a Rambam, over here in Perish Mishnayis on this Mishnah right here. And I think it's basically clear like that also in the Yad, but just he spells it out very clearly. He wants to make it very pushed to people how to understand who comes first, who comes next, who comes next. So he describes, whenever you want to figure out who gets the Yerusha, you figure out who should have gotten it, right? Let's say Yankel, whatever, Mr. X, he's Nifter, right? Fine, so Yankel's Nifter. Now, Yankel's Nifter, he has a... His only relative that's alive is his, like, long-lost, like, third cousin once removed. Okay? And he's the only cousin that's going to get it. Everyone else is Nifl. But so how do you figure that out? Like, how do we work out, like, who gets it? Because he also has, like, a great uncle on his, like, mother's side. I don't know, whatever, right? So how do you figure out who gets it? So you say, well, the Yankel has... let's say his son would have lived. So his son would have gotten it. Right? So you give it to his son. Now you see it as if his son was Nifter. Well, if his son was Nifter, who would have gotten that? His son. Well, and who would have gotten that? His brother. Whatever. You go through who would have gotten as if that guy died. So you go through the whole time. If the guy would have died, he would give it to him. If that guy would have died, he would give it to him. So you go down the line, basically, who would get it? And the final guy, it ends up, gets it. Right? So the way to figure out who gets the Yerusha is always just figure out who should get it. Oh, that guy's dead? Okay, fine. So we'll assume he got it. And we'll assume he just died. And who gets it from him? Okay, next guy. Oh, he's also dead? Okay, fine. So we'll assume he gets it. Assume he dies. And then whoever's after him, fine. That's the easy way to figure out how the Yerusha, who gets the Yerusha. Fine. Now, what sounds pashas in the Rambam, again, this is pashas pshat, is that it's always like a mishmash then, right? That's always, really, it's, right? It doesn't go straight from Yankel to his long-lost cousin, half-removed, right? But it goes to the next guy in the kever, Ki'ilu he died, to the next guy in the kever, Ki'ilu he died, to the next guy in the kever. It sounds from the Rambam that it's working on the Mishmash, right? It's always, Mishmash, how you define the word mishmash. Whatever. Mishmash means that it's, you know, I don't know, convoluted? I have no idea. Either way, it goes...
It's just,
you know,
indirect.
Right, exactly, indirect. There you go. So, as opposed to Yeshira...
Which is direct.
Right, so the Pashit, the way that's Mamash Yashir is if father, son, father, that, or the son, or son, father. That's the easiest Yashir. Boom. There's nothing in between, right? Because if a son dies... His father gets it. If father dies, his son gets it. That's as direct as possible. Fine. So there's two kinds of Yerusha. Fine. There's a diyun in the Achronim. There's even a nafkamina. I mean, it's not so pasha. There's a nafkamina if you get it al yaday mishmash or al yaday Yerusha Yeshira. It's not so pasha. Meaning, okay, a lot of Achronim thought that you do get, that there is a nafkamina. I don't think it's like so clear that there's a nafkamina, meaning at least according to many Rishonim. I'm not convinced that many Rishonim saw these two possibilities as mattering so much. Meaning,
well, what's the nafkamina? Tell us.
Right. I'm saying that that some. I think what I'm about to say is not necessarily according to many Rishonim. I'll give you just possibilities in some Achronim, what they say. So Achronim quote. There's a Trumas, Sefer HaTrumas. He's, I think, a Talmud of the Ramban. So, he's quoted all over Chosh Mishpat. So, this one, I think, actually, I'm not sure yet, but I think this actually is, he's a Rishon. I'm pretty sure this actually is an Afghan. I think he understands it as an Afghan even. This is the only Afghan, I think, in the Rishon that Imamish saw, I'm pretty sure, is like Mefurish. But, okay, anyway, so he says, it's Gemara later on Kufnun Test, that let's say a man dies, right? So there's a man, Avram, he dies, right? Then his son, Yitzchak, should get it, right? And his son, Yitzchak, is not alive anymore. Okay, fine, so Yaakov gets it, right? Fine. So Yaakov gets the Yerusha. But let's say Yitzchak had a Baal Chov. Yitzchak owed $100 to Shimon, okay? So now Avram dies. If Yitzchak would be Yoresh, the Nechasim, then the Baal Chov would take the $100 from Yitzchak, right? Let's say Yitzchak actually were alive, then Yitzchak would get the Nechasim, and the Baal Chov, Shimon, he would take the $100 from Yitzchak. So now, fine, Yitzchak not alive, he's already dead, but Yaakov, he's Yoresh, right? So if you say it's Ayde Mishmash, if you say that it's Ke'ilu, Yitzchak got it, and then Yaakov got it, well, when it went to Yitzchak, the Baal Chov grabs it, right? Because he comes before the Yoresh, because he, it belongs to Yitzchak, right? As opposed that would be if it was like the Mishmash, meaning if it was indirect to Yaakov, meaning if Yaakov got it only indirectly, so then it would go from what? From Avraham to Yitzchak. Baal Chov Shimon would come grab it, and only then could it get the Yaakov, but Baal Chov just grabbed it. That's if Yaakov would get it through Yitzchak, meaning if he would get it through Mishmash. But if Yaakov can get it...
Direct.
Here I'm going to go with circumvent. Right? So if Yaakov can circumvent Yitzchak and get it...
direct.
This everyone agrees with Rosh Hashanah, right? So if Yaakov can get it straight from Avram,
then the
right?
Baal Chov
so that's,
will not.
That's direct. So right. No sheiches to Yitzchak. The Baal Chov has no hand over this. Baal Chov doesn't get it. No. Fine. That's what the Gemara says. Now the Gemara asks that question. What's the din? So the Gemara says, no, Avudavua Karyashinan, I think. So something like that. That the Yaakov, the grandson, can say, I'm Yoresh. I'm Yoresh straight from my grandfather. Mikoch avua da aba kasina. Right, I'm coming straight from my grandfather. Meaning, so I'm sorry, Mr. Shimon. You can go, you know, back to your home. You have no shayches to this $100 because I'm getting it straight from Zaidi. Right, fine. Right, because so the Gemara says mafurish that a grandson, he's Yoresh ofen yashir. Okay, so he gets it straight from the grandfather. That makes sense? Right? So, therefore, the Baal Chov of his father has no sheiches to it because he gets it from his grandfather. Okay, fine. So now, the question is, how about other Yorshim? So the this is what the Sefer Trumas discusses. How about, like, an uncle? Right? So an uncle, I'm pretty sure, I haven't seen the Sefer Trumas in a little while, but I'm pretty sure Sefer Trumas says, no, an uncle, you cannot say mikoach abda buakar kayarsina. I'm not getting, you can't say I'm getting it from the dead guy, meaning an uncle, right? Let's say now Yaakov is nifter. Avram has, no, not Avram. Yitzchak has a brother named Ishmael, right? So Yaakov is nifter. Let's say Yitzchak's no longer living. So the guy who would get his Yerusha is Ishmael, right? Now, but Yitzchak has a Balchov. Someone, Yitzchak owes, I mean, he's dead now, but he owes $100 to Shimon. So in that case, Shimon could grab the money. That meaning Yishmael wants to take the money, and Shimon says, ha, get out of my face, I'm taking the money. Why? Because really, Yitzchak gets it first. You want to get it from Yitzchak? I'm sorry, I'm first, I'm a Balchov. I'm going to get it first. Fine. So that's, so I'm pretty sure that's what Sefer Trumas, I'm pretty sure that's what he says, that that by an uncle, it's, we don't say that. We don't say, it's beside the mishmash, this way the other chronim understand it, that it's ide mishmash, it's indirect, and therefore the Baal Chov comes first. Okay, so that's a nafkamina between mishmash and yashir. If it's direct or indirect. Made sense? Fine. Again, I have to learn it better, maybe still, because the way the Achrim understand it is between indirect and direct. Okay, you have to see if that's really what the Baal Chum is trying to say. He definitely says that din. Question is the svar that I just said exactly what he's saying? I think it is, but you just have to ayin sham when you get there. It's on kuf nun tes. Fine. Now, another nafkamina, Rekiva Eger is very into this chiluk. He's very, very into this chilukim between mishmush and Ophim Yashir, there's Chuvis, there's Kiva Eger on the Mishnah, on the Mishnah right here, in his Tosfos on the Mishnah, Kiva Eger right on the Mishnayos, and Yochid Abba is Mishnayos, Kiva Eger has a number of nafkaminos that he tries to bring. So whatever, one more nafkamina he tries to say, okay, it's complicated. Whatever, the other nafkaminos he tries to say between if it's Mishmush or if it's direct or if it's indirect. Okay, I mean, I can tell you very quickly. Basically, the Gemara says later that if there are three sons, and they're all able to be your issue, right? Because they're three sons, you can give it to one of them. Okay, it's called according to Yochim Abuka. According to one of Tanayim, you can give it to that to one son. Okay, now. The Gemara, that's only if he's a Yorish. That's it. If let's say you have three sons, you want to give it to your brother, that doesn't work. You can give it to, when I say give, by the way, you can always give him as a matana. When you're alive, let's say someone's about to be nifter, he knows he's on his deathbed, he says, okay, all my nechasim as a matana, and he gives it to the kinyan even, and he gives it to his brother, it's pashut that it works. And his sons get nothing. He gave it as a matana. You can do whatever you want, right? It's only after you're dead that the Yerusha works. Before, you can do whatever you want, right?
So how can it work that he only gives it the Yerusha to one?
So I'll explain one second. Just that's one of the things that Chazal say you're not supposed to do. To give it all your Nechasim away to someone else who's not supposed to be a Yoresh, that's not proper. That's why I said before circumventing or not circumventing, meaning that we have to figure out why what we do today is proper. That's a kasha. Okay, fine. But so that you're not supposed to do. Fine. Now, right, so how do you give it? Rilke holds that, like I said before, even though Mishamai Kazachle, even though you get the Yerusha, the Torah gives you the Yerusha, and you don't need a Kinyan, but the Rilke holds, based on a Pasuk, that B'yom Anchilas Banav, there's a Gzeres HaKasuf, that before the father is the person on his deathbed is the Morish, meaning he has a certain Koach over, basically to make a will, Kilu. Meaning to say, again, but not to anybody, only to the people who are supposed to be Yorishin. Meaning, of the Yorishin, he can say, you get it. Meaning, he can't say a random person, but of, let's say, there are three sons.
Self-divide, divide right, so in a different way.
Of the people who are supposed to get it, he can give it to one of them.
Right.
Okay? He can't give it to a random person, he gives it to one of the people who are supposed to get it. Okay? So the Kivager says, fine, we see that if there's... When there's sons, right? Yaakov dies, he has 12 sons, right? He wants to give it all to Yosef, right? So he says, you know what? Yosef, you get all the Yerusha. So that works. But let's say he doesn't have any sons. All he has is three brothers. Let's say Yaakov had a brother named Jack, James and Jimmy, right? So Yaakov, right? So Jack James and Jim and whatever Jimmy, they all will be Yoresh. It's funny that Yaakov is a brother in Jack. Whatever.
Okay, come
they
on.
All
be,
they'll all be Yoresh. They'll all be Yoresh. Together, the three of them will split it, right? But he says, you know what? Yaakov says, Jack, you have my English name. You get all my Yerusha. Okay? So does a Biyochin Broka work in such a case? Kiv Yair says, maybe that's totally on this question of Mishmash versus Yerush of Yashir. Why? If we say that it's Ofen Yashir, that you get it directly, right, that the Yerusha goes direct, okay, so you're my direct Yorshim, Jack, Jimmy, and James, right? So Jack, I want you to get the Yerusha. You're on my direct Yorshim, you have the Shem Yorish. So of the Yorshim, I'm allowed to give it to just you. But if you hold that it's Ayde Mishmosh, that's indirect, you're not my Yorshim. My son, he's my Yorish, right? Meaning, my son is... My father. My father is my Yoresh.
Why not the son?
Well, he doesn't have a son.
He doesn't, okay.
So my father's my Yoresh, and he's going to give it to my brothers. Right? Really, my father... I didn't have a son. Right? Yaakov didn't have a son, hypothetically. So his father, Yitzchak, would get it, Bekever, because he's the next in line. First son, then father. So the father would get it. Okay, he's dead. So Yitzchak gets the Bekever, and then Bekever, after that, he gives it to Jack, James, and Jimmy. Right? So I have no sheikh to Jack, James, and Jimmy. I can't give it to one of them. They're not my Yorshin. Right? My father, he's the Yorish. Yitzchak's the Yorish of Yaakov. And Jack, James, and Jimmy, they get it from Yitzchak. So that's if it's indirect. So if it's direct, then I'm able to give it to them. If it's indirect, they're not my Yorshin. My father's a Yorish. That would be another Yafim that says Rikki Deig.
Assuming the father's alive.
Assuming, no, even if the father's dead, that's the point.
The whole point.
It's a hypothetical, it's sort of like a legal fiction.
Well, no,
it's a legal fiction that goes to the father even though he's dead.
Right.
It's a question, do we create this legal fiction that goes really the father inherits it, but since the father's dead, it goes to his sons? Or do we not create this legal fiction and in fact, it actually goes directly to the thing, in a sense, they're part of the hierarchy? Is the father
part of this process or not?
Or not.
Does he get it, Bekever? In the grave,
right,
does he get
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
Okay, so if he's not, again...
Then he has the right to decide which of the brothers he'll get. But if it goes indirectly through the father, then he's not directly connected to the brothers, so how can
he
decide?
He can't say he gets it.
That's enough to me.
That's what Rikki Deig said, enough to me.
It's
a big Kiddush.
I don't think if he didn't say it, because you would already be holds to go to the father once you know it's like grandma.
Yeah,
once you know what's going to happen.
Yeah. It's a big Kiddush. It's a Kiddush.
Wait, I don't hear your attack. What's your attack?
If the motive goes to the father, you can still say.
But Maisa, they're your Yorshin. Okay, they're getting it through that.
I know how it's going to work.
They're the practical
Yorshin. I know how Endgame's going to play out after I die, and I choose this is the way it's going to work out. Like, one of the people who's going to get my Yorusha after I die, I'm going to make sure only one of them got it.
Meaning, practically, they're the Yorshim. Okay.
If you go through Mishmush, well, let's be technical about it.
Right. So he's saying...
If you're going through Mishmush, then you're basically nothing to do with those brothers.
No, but at the end of the day, your father's dead. Like, you're dead.
Okay, but that's how
I'll put teeth what he's saying.
Yeah, go.
There's a Gemara later on Kuf Yudal on the Bays.
Yeah.
Mishmush will get there one of these days. But over there, the Gemara says that there's... that. I'm explaining the Gemara right now according to some Rishonim, the Ramah especially.
Yeah.
Fine? The Rashbam, I think, disagrees. But the Ramah says like this. The Gemara has a case where there's a mother, a woman dies. She has a son who should get it, one son, and he has a brother from his father, but not from her. It's not her.
Say it again. What's the case?
Leah, she dies, right? She has a son named Reuven,
right?
Yeah. And he has a brother named Yosef
from
the same father, but different mother, right?
Okay.
So
they're half
brothers. Really, right. So Leah is not related to Yosef.
Exactly.
There's no sheikhs to each other. They happen to like have a shame. Yosef's father is Leah's husband, but they have no sheikhs to each other, right?
Yeah.
So now, forget it. Yaakov's not around. Imagine the only three people in the world right now are Leah, Reuven, and Yosef. Okay? Now, Reuven dies. Right, he's out of the picture. Okay? Now Leah, she dies. Alright? So now, if Reuven were around, then Reuven would get it. Right?
He would Yorish his mother.
He would Yorish his mother, Pasha, right?
Right.
Now, but Reuven's not around. So, okay, so his brother should get it.
Yosef,
because right. He should be Yorish Bekever and give it to his brother,
right.
Yosef.
Right.
So the Gemara says no dice, meaning according to the Adar Ma, according to memory shown it. The Gemara says no dice. It's not, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Why doesn't that work?
Yeah.
Because Yosef is not a Karov to Leah. Mm-hmm. There's no sheiches to each other, right? Nice woman, nice guy, but no sheiches, right? So they're not Karov. Every step of the way, they're very Karov,
yeah.
Right? It goes from mother to son to brother. Very
yeah.
Karov.
Yeah.
But since the first product and the end product, right, the dead person and the final Yoresh are not related, so they're not. It's not that. Therefore, the Yerusha is not. He doesn't get the Yerusha. You have to be related to the person that that died. That's the Morish. You have to be related to the person. Now you could say, right? You hear that? You could say, okay. So he holds that. Basically, how does that work? Even I did mishmash. It should work. So you see from him that there's another din that even if it works like the mishmash, still the person who gets the Yerusha, he is the Yoresh of Nichsei, the dead person. Meaning, even if it's like the mishmash, even if it's indirect, like hypothetically in this case, if it worked, Yosef would get the Nechasim of Leah. Now, Echanami, it would work through mishmash, but he would have Leah's stuff. And the Torah says, that can't be. There's no sheikh stuck out there. That's not happening. Okay? So therefore, that opens up the door to arguing this Kiva Eger, that even if it's Aydei Mishmush, okay, but Lamaisa, you're going to get my stuff. So if you're going to get my stuff, I have the ability to decide who gets my stuff. You're my Yoresh. You only get it indirectly through the Mishmush? Okay, but Lamaisa, you're the Yoresh of my stuff. Meaning, so you hear, there's a little bit of a connection between two people, even if it's Aydei Mishmush. That's my point. But you need to figure out, I mean, Kiva Eger is a, you know, I'm saying, it's a Kiddush. I'm saying, so it's a no. Fine. So I just want to recap very quickly, just to, so we get something out of tonight. So basically, we said that Yerusha is Baal Korchacha, Yerusha doesn't need a Kinyan. We said that the Torah discusses who gets first and who doesn't. It's all based on Svaros and Kirva, who's most Karov. There's different kinds of Yerusha. There's Idei directly or indirectly, two nafkamim is one of the palachumis by a Baal Chov, and now this nafkam give you to Eger, you're from a broker that if you can give to a certain person of the Yorushin. Those are the basic rules.